It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord. Have you ever wondered why you're here and where you're going to? As you wander on from day to day, always wanting something new. Does your life make sense? Are you quite content just to keep on muddling through? Or do you really want life at its best? Well, there's just one way that can be done. Give your life and your soul into Jesus' control. Give your life now to God's only Son. Have you ever wondered how you'll feel when you meet Him face to face? You will have to face Him on your own. No one else can take your place. Have you ever wondered what you'll do when you God on His throne, and He says to you, you're not my child, for you always live life your own way.
Friends, welcome most warmly to this time together. I was speaking with Jim before the service and saying this is the greatest tribute that one can have to one's life. A life that touched and blessed so many others' lives. So many others. Warm welcome to Mary's family, to all of her friends. A special welcome as well to Pastor Daniel Sutherland, Mary's nephew as well, with whom I have the privilege of sharing today's service. We're gathered together to worship the living God and to celebrate the life of our beloved Mary McPherson Buchan. We have gathered to hear afresh the great promise of the gospel that tells us that the offer of salvation is available to all who place faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And this gospel, this good news, it tells us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His victory over the grave, it stands at the very heart of our faith. In Jesus, God has said an eternal yes to all who believe. And because the Lord is truly risen, we can trust fully that life and not death will have the final word. And so by faith and through faith, we can have hope that we too one day will share in our Lord's resurrection glory. And even now, the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of those who believe, making us more and more like Jesus. Friends, in this time, it is certainly right and proper for us to miss Mary. We keenly feel her absence, of course. But even in our sadness, even in our grief, it is right and proper for us to give thanks to God for Mary's life. Giving thanks. Over the last several days, as Daniel and I have met with Jim and Fiona and Richard, Linda and Phil and Laura, this theme of giving thanks has been a constant refrain. And everything I have read and heard about and knew personally about Mary's life, it had the aroma of thanksgiving. Mary's family is so thankful for her life, for all the countless ways that she blessed others and made this world around her into a far better place. Mary's family is also thankful for every expression of practical and spiritual support that they have and continue to receive. All the visitors, the cards, the instant messages, social media posts, phone calls, delivery of meals are all so very much appreciated by the family and mean more than words can possibly convey. Thanks must also be said to Jim, to Richard, to Mary, Peter, and Phil for leading our musical worship today. Special thanks must also be given to Mary's doctor, Dr. Vijayan, who for so many years looked after Mary so well throughout her illness. Mary and Jim had total and complete trust in him, helping them to live a high quality of life, still going on holidays together, because he paid such attention to minute detail and helped them even as Mary's illness progressed. Thanks must also be said to the paramedics and the ambulance crew who cared so well for Mary. They were so amazing and so empathetic in every possible way. As a sign of our own thanksgiving for Mary's life, if you haven't done so already, donations can be made today to the Aberdeen Liver Fund. This charity helps fund liver specialist nurses to train in various disciplines. And the nurses, it helps them do an outstanding job at the Peter Brunt Center and across NHS Grampian. Thanks as well to Sean and the team from Craig and Beverly for the kindness in this difficult time. And thanks also to the church family here in Kemeny, who have helped so much with this service today, the work of the AV team, who are managing and recording the live stream, the team from Loaves and Fishes at the church center, who are providing the catering after the Kirk service and Kirkyard service. On behalf of Mary's family, thank you to everyone. In her life, Mary, she knew the importance of worship. She knew that Jesus always had to be at the center of her whole life. She knew that the Lord is her shepherd who led her through every step of life's journey. So with that in mind, let us worship God and be upstanding as we are able as we sing our first song of praise together, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
Mary would have wanted you to give it loudly. So please, when you stand up and sing this from your heart and really lift the roof. Thank you.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. I will trust in you.
Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to be together today in your presence. We are so grateful for the opportunity to celebrate and remember the life of our beloved Mary. We are so grateful, Lord, that in this time of worship, we can bring our whole selves into your loving presence. We know that even now, you are calling us to place our faith in you. Even now, the offer of salvation is ours for the asking. Lord Jesus, in your life, in your ministry, we know you took on the fullness of our condition. You know what it means to be human. You know our joys and sorrows, our hopes and frustrations. Lord, we praise you for walking with each of us through every step of life's journey. We praise you. We are amazed by you for your willingness to go to the cross for us, that we might have true forgiveness from sin and everlasting life and peace. Loving God, as we worship and as we give thanks for Mary, help us to truly trust that she is now at peace, resting forever in the shadow of your wings. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was talking with Jim and family about the service, this passage from Scripture came to mind immediately, because one of the things that Jim said he wanted the service about today was about hope. The hope we have in Jesus Christ, the hope, the one hope that never disappoints, ever. As we hear now from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, and Paul the Apostle, he writes this, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. You may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Amen. It seems like such an appropriate passage for today, when we reckon with the essence of our hope we have as believers in Jesus Christ. This passage starts, "We don't want you to be uninformed," Paul writes, "brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." Now, this passage has spoken into my life more times than I can count. For me, one of the most amazing things about this passage we've just heard is what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that Christian believers cannot grieve. It doesn't say we have to have plastic smiles on our face at all times. It doesn't say that. Far from it. It simply says we must not grieve as those who have no hope. This means that even with our tears, our sadness, and our grief, we stand in the greater reality of God's life and love. We always stand in the light of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. We can grieve things because in this world, things are often so very painful, aren't they? It's easy to turn on the news and see so much pain. And the Bible never, ever denies the reality of our world. Far from it. Instead, it looks our world straight in the eye and it says, "Ah, yes, but there's more to it than this." The Bible speaks of a hope that no amount of darkness can ever overcome. There's a hope that can keep us going even when our hearts are so heavy with the weight of grief. And this hope only comes from Jesus. It is found in him, and it is ours for the asking. In her own life, Mary was a bearer of this Christian hope. Daniel's going to say a lot more about Mary and life of their family, but I think we can all agree that Mary was always there for others, wasn't she? I see a lot of nodding heads. Always. Even when she herself felt terrible, she summoned the strength, didn't she? And was present and available for others. And did she ever complain? No. No. This was due in part to Mary's loving personality, to be sure, to the raw material that made Mary, Mary. But I think it was due even more to the faith she had in Jesus Christ, this faith that she had since she was a young girl. She had a God-given ability to be present with others, to even grieve with others because of her hope and her faith in Jesus. That is what made Mary, Mary. And as her pastor, I witnessed this more times than I can count. She had a joy, a strength, and a hope beyond anything offered by this world. This hope was a foundation for her friendships here in Kemne. I think especially of her and Jim's friendship with Alan and Linda, with John and Morrig, their group of six. Oh, what fun they had. Mary left a lasting mark here on Kemne. She had countless friends here in the village, throughout Scotland, throughout the world. She was a sure and loving presence for so many. She also made a lasting impression on countless students, staff, and teachers at L. House Wells Primary School. And I know the school is represented here today. And if you want to hear some really, really good stories about Mary's life and work at L. House Wells, just ask Muriel Gratian for some more details. As we've heard, Mary's life was founded on Christian faith. She was the rare soul, who delighted in truly giving of herself to others without any thought of reward, any thought of a thank you. She just did it. Later in life, she did so Sunday after Sunday with the residents of Littlewood Court, watching the online service stream of them on Sunday mornings, and always texting and letting Jim know when the live stream wasn't working. Even when she didn't have much to give, she gave it her all. And the rest of this passage from 1 Thessalonians starts with, "We do not grieve as those who have no hope." This talks about the content of the hope we have, the hope of being with Jesus forever. And when the Bible speaks of hope, it isn't talking about some pie in the sky, maybe, may not happen scenario. Biblical hope, no, is different. It's grounded in who Jesus is in his glorious return. And if I may say, personally, I'm so very grateful for Mary's life, for my friendship with her, with Jim, and with the whole family. I always received the warmest welcome when I visited their home. "Come have a coffee," Jim would say. And Mary, even when she wasn't feeling well, had a smile on her face, a sparkle in her eye, asking how I was doing, and would find some way to tease me. Again, that's Mary, right? One time when visiting, when I was feeling a little down and tired, can't remember why, but I remember feeling that way, Jim told me about an important lesson that he learned from his father. His father would keep copies of a poem. He would give it to people who were going through difficult times. And the family thought it would be nice to include this poem with every order of service today. And it seems appropriate for us to hear it now. So follow along if you'd like. "My father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way." Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. Though so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Mary lived fully into this hope offered in Jesus Christ. Because of this, her life was filled with a sense of blessed assurance. This is what made her into such a wonderful, loving, faith-filled person. And the hope of her life can be the hope of our life too. May God help us all to make the hope of Jesus the center of our lives as well. Amen. And we continue to worship God and to give our thanks for Mary's life by singing our next song of praise, Blessed Assurance.
Mary would have absolutely loved that rendition. blessed assurance. Absolutely fantastic. And I think that's amazing how you guys have managed to take part and lead us today. And what an honor it is for me to take part in this service as we give thanks for the life of Mary and my auntie Mary. And I guess the death of a loved one, it always is an occasion for sorrow. But however we come today, as we've already heard, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Because I am certain of Mary's personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She could have sung that song, every last word, and meant sincerely each word. Her salvation is secured, and she has received the gift of eternal life and will be with our Savior forevermore. Now, growing up with Auntie Mary, there was always the likelihood of some mischief, definitely some winding up, and we'd always banter back and forth with each other because I was a proud Brocher from Fraser Brown, she was a blue tuner from Peterhead. But we didn't let that get in between us, but there was always the risk that she was going to torment you or wind you up. I think we'll all remember her smile. We'll always remember that glint in her eye when she had come up with an idea how she could play a prank on you. I'll never forget her laugh afterwards. She seemed to take so much joy and satisfaction knowing that she had won you up. And we've all got our own memories and stories to tell. And what a tribute that so many have came here today. And there will be an opportunity, I think, actually, at the centre to write down some of your own happy stories and memories, and the family would really appreciate you to take time to do that, and they'd love to hear those at a later point. Now, I want to share some of my reflections, but predominantly reflections that the family have passed on to me of Mary's life and their experience. Mary was born on the 18th of December 1956 at home, 55 Hope Street, Peterhead, and was a second child to George and Isabel. And George, their oldest child, would endearingly call Mary his big sister, which she did not appreciate because she thought it meant that she was older than he was. But George said Mary always had a smile on her face. I cannot remember ever hearing her complain, even though through the years she bore her liver problem. Mary was more than just my big sister. She was my friend and my confidant, and she will be greatly missed, but always fondly remembered. And Alison, her younger sister, was born just a few years later and completed the Melville family. And she says Mary was a loving, a one-of-a-kind sister, sister-in-law and auntie. She was always there with a listening ear. Was kind-hearted in everything she did. Wherever Mary was, you knew the room would be filled with laughter and light. She'll be a huge miss as a loving sister, confidant, and friend. As a child, Mary attended the Buchanhaven Primary School before progressing to the local academy, where she did really well, and left school to become a butcher's apprentice at Templeton's in Peterhead town centre. But Mary first met James in 1974 at the Peterhead and Fraserburgh Baptist Church youth parties that Christmas time. Some people remember those, I think. They sound like they must have been quite the party to be at. We'll maybe hear about those later, eh? Well, Mary was there and James spotted her, but he thought to himself, she is nice. But then thought she was too old for him. And in his defense, she was with an older group of girls. But after a sequence of events, they set up their first date together at Annabella's house. That must have been the scene. That's in 1974 in the Broch. That's where you went for a good time. That's where you went for a date. And that was a place where young people were invited to. They opened up their home. And I think that James and Mary picked that up. And as they went through life, they opened up their home and had many times of fellowship with people. And they soon started dating regularly, so there were many trips from the Broch to Peterhead. And they didn't waste any time. And in the same year, they got engaged and decided to marry on the 8th of July, 1977. They were married in the rescue hall in Peterhead, where they said their vows to each other before God. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. And Mary and James enjoyed over 45 years of marriage. And Mary was a dearly loved wife to James. They shared a personal faith in Jesus, which was the cornerstone for their marriage, but also what they built their home and their family upon. And once married, they set up home, their first home in Aberdeen, in a flat in Union Grove. James was training for teaching and Mary was working at the Aberdeen Telephone Exchange, and she was the breadwinner for that couple of years until he'd finished his postgrad and moved down to the Borders for his first job. And it was whilst living in Gala Shields they started their family, and James taught at the Earlston High School. And their eldest child, Fiona, was born on the 14th of April, 1980. And she reflects, we had such a happy childhood, with the usual sibling bickering aside. We were brought up with good Christian values. An important thing for Mom was us all sitting together at the dinner table. Dad always made an effort to be home from working time for that. Mom was so greatly loved. We will forever hold her in our hearts. And whilst adjusting to motherhood, Mary started some casual home working. First assembling dental floss dispensers for Johnston & Johnston. And then, as a very skilled and talented machine knitter for Ardfern Knitwear, which she excelled at and continued that when they came up north. The family grew with the arrival of their second daughter, Linda, on the 10th of June, 1984, and she remembers Mum was stable, calming, decisive, guiding, reliable, protective, supportive, incredibly intelligent, a reliable spell checker and grammar checker extraordinaire. She was a demonstrator. Showed me never-ending kindness and care. Mum has shown me how to persevere and stick with things even when things get hard. And after 10 good years in Gala Shields, it was time to head back north. And in 1989, James got a job in Aberdeen and they moved to Kemney. And their family was completed and they saved the best till last. I got a pretty big laugh from it. On the 19th of August, 1990, Philip was born. My earliest memories of Mum were when we would cuddle up on the sofa. Mum would be lying sleeping and I would climb in behind her and just snuggle in. She always supported everything I did and encouraged me so much. She was an amazing role model. On my way home from work, I would call Mum to see how she'd been doing, and normally this call would wake her up from her nap. And we would chat about our days, and I would moan to her about things that annoyed me that day. And she would listen and give advice. Her advice was always the right advice. She never had a bad thing to say about anyone. And she always looked at any situation with love. And Mary's illness developed shortly after Philip's birth and was quite ill when she had him as a baby, but the girls supported her as best as they could. And Mary's illness was always evident, but was controlled by medication, and she always remained quite stable. And eventually, as things stabilised, after Philip had started school, Mary went back to work at Alehouse Wells Primary School as a classroom assistant. And in that role, Mary was able to help many children with difficulties through the classroom work, the homework club that she ran, and home visits too. She was a great listener that children could trust with their cares, their worries, anxieties, and even their ambitions. But Mary was not only a support to the kids, she was a great support to the staff and the teaching staff as well. However, she always knew when the mood needed lightened, when things got a little bit too stressful, including applying cling film to the toilet seat, locking the toilet cubicles from the outside so no one could get in, sewing up the sleeves of jackets and filling people's pockets with shredded paper. Just some of her well-known tricks that she would play, but would bring a smile to someone's face and much relief at a time of stress. And when Mary had to retire as her health started to deteriorate, she donated a trophy which would be awarded annually to the student who would have made the biggest all-round improvement all year. And she presented that to the very first pupil in her retirement. Mary was a good friend to many people, and I think a lot of you are here today, and even maybe some watching us through the live stream. She would never betray or a confidence. She could be relied upon to listen and offer sound advice if asked to. Mary always found a way to build a bridge, to help people overcome division and to repair relationships. Fiona said she went through life gaining friends, not replacing them. There was great fellowship to be had at their house, parties at Hogmanay, friends for dinner parties on Saturday nights. Mary really had a warm personality that was caring and a massive sense of humour. And she always had a game with objects. And she always had a game that got everybody involved. Silly games, and during those times, looking for the opportunity to wind you up if you weren't doing too well. The mischief and the playing of tricks were not far away from any social gathering. There was the dribbling glass that came out from time to time, that unsuspecting visitors wondered why their glass wasn't working properly. And she had a fake cigarette that apparently she used to bring out to people who didn't know her that well. And she was a non-smoker. But just to see people's reactions. Richard remembers, you were just the best mother-in-law that a son-in-law could wish for. There was never any drama or fuss. You liked nothing better than when all your family were together, no matter how chaotic it was. But you also liked it when it was quieter and we were just chilling. You loved playing games and were so competitive, sometimes even trying to make up your own rules. You even maybe sometimes went into a bit of a huff if you lost. My lasting impression of you is your mischievousness. You would never know if you were going to find your sleeves, jackets sewn up, or your shoes tied together. You're always looking for little ways to be mischievous and always liked a bit of banter. You'll be missed. Mary and James enjoyed many holidays and cruises with their family and friends, and we've heard of the group of six already, Morag and John, Renton, Lyndon, Allen, Gorvet, and themselves would go away for mystery tour days, Valentine weekends, and their two yearly cruises. And Mary really missed Morag, her partner in crime, so much. She was an incredible support to her and still to her family after her passing. And Laura tells that Mary was a wonderful mother-in-law who welcomed me into the family with open arms. She was an excellent baker and crafter, and many skills and talents that she could share. Nothing was ever a problem and would always offer a helping hand. She enjoyed spending time with the kids, whether it was making cards, playing with diggers or Play-Doh. She's left a huge hole in our hearts, and we will miss her company, her mischief, and her fancy pieces. But we've a lifetime of memories to remember her by. She loved cooking, Mary. Always seemed to come up with these unusual recipes. It just seemed to make things work and have everything ready at the same time. Apart from the occasional burning of the neeps, or just making far too much rice for the sweet and sour. She loved nothing more than to have a house full to cook for. Now, throughout our illness, Mary never complained. And she did her best to make sure she was at her best, even when she didn't feel like she was at well. Last year, things took a turn for the worse, then her consultant suggested that they should consider being assessed for a liver transplant, which she embraced. And she attended a week-long evaluation clinic at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary Liver Unit and was accepted for a transplant programme. Now, this was to be one of the best weeks of health that she experienced in a long time. The family were optimistic that this was a good opportunity. It was high risk, but it would be beneficial if the new liver did its job. However, Mary's condition continued to deteriorate, but she still never complained. And a chest infection meant that her health hadn't been too good over the past few weeks, but she'd agreed to call the Kemeny Medical Group when it reopened on the 4th of January. However, she never made that phone call. And with the best efforts of her family and the emergency teams, Mary passed peacefully from this life into the everlasting arms of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to sing together this next hymn, "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord." And as the band come to lead us, can I tell you just one of the reflections that Muriel Gratian passed on, who worked at the school with her? She remembers that Mary spread good feelings throughout the school, and we could feel her Christian faith shining through. So one day a boy came to them and said, "Are you Ian's holy willies?" Mary replied, "Aye, laddie, we're holy willies." She did not hide her faith, but let it shine to others in her actions that brought relief and joy to others. And this song we're going to sing about an experience that was real to Mary, that she could declare that she was not ashamed of Jesus, she was not ashamed of her Lord, and that she experienced a significant life change and a life-transforming power when she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. Well, we're in fine voice, so let's stand together and we sing, "I'm Not Ashamed of My Lord."
Glory of His name.
I guess over these past few days, I've just been reflecting on how did Mary remain so resilient throughout all our health challenges for the past 30 years. I'm sure the support of our family, the care from the friends and medical professions, medication, her strong character, all contributed to her resilience. However, above all these things was her faith in Jesus Christ. It empowered her to get through this life, but to enjoy every moment and every opportunity, and to leave a legacy of love, kindness, and care for others. Mary was raised by her parents, who were faithful Christians, attended church a lot, and encouraged to live out Christian values in her life. But Mary made her own choice to accept Jesus as her own Lord and Savior as a young child at a summer camp. This was a defining moment in her story. And it's because of her decision on that day that we are certain that Mary is now in the presence of Jesus forevermore. She understood that she was a sinner and needed a Savior so that she could be forgiven of her sins and be restored into right relationship with God. Her faith was lived out right until the very end. In the most practical of ways. Just as we were driving up today, Deborah and myself were reflecting that the last time she visited my folks, she brought with her a big bag of tatties. And I think we enjoyed those tatties on Christmas Day. Those practical evidence of the faith that she held. Mary was confident about her faith in Jesus. She believed that we can join her and her and Jesus in heaven after this life too. In the Bible, John describes what he saw at the crucifixion. In John's Gospel 19, verse 25, it says these words: "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Jesus is laying down his life to reconcile us to our Father in heaven, to pay the penalty for our sin, to take the punishment for our sins that we deserve. And standing at the foot of the cross, whilst he is crucified, are three women, all called Mary. The three women all knew Jesus personally. They all knew him intimately, and they all cherished him dearly. Standing there is Mary, his mother. And she stands by and looks as her son suffers, shamed in public, but with his dying breaths cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Surely, Mary would have suffered great emotional distress as she witnessed her son nailed to a cross. And Mary Buchan knew suffering in her life and in her health. But she shared the sufferings of Christ. See, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead." She knew Jesus in a greater way through her suffering, but more so, she had the hope that because she knew Jesus, because she had faith in him, that one day she would be free from all sickness, all pain, all struggle and strife, and would be in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. And also at the cross was Mary, the wife of Clopas, and looks like she was the auntie of Jesus. So I can say Auntie Mary was at the cross. And my Auntie Mary, she lived her life near the cross. At a young age, she had a revelation of God's love for her that was demonstrated on the cross and her need for forgiveness for her sin. And she made that decision to accept Jesus as her own Lord and Savior. And from then on, she followed that lifestyle and that example of Jesus. She lived her life near the cross. And finally, Mary Magdalene was there. She was there with Jesus right to the very end. She was a supporter of Jesus, a follower of him and his ministry. And she met practical needs for Jesus and the disciples. And as I've mentioned and we've heard, Mary Bohan served others practically and was a faithful supporter of others. Mary Magdalene saw the love of God displayed in its fullest form. And she was also the first to see Jesus after his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope that through faith in Jesus, we all, like Mary, can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus after this life comes to an end. But each of us have to make that choice and that decision to receive the love and the forgiveness that God has for us through faith in Jesus and his death upon the cross. See, John also tells us in chapter 3, verse 16, that it was for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. There are many misconceptions about God, but the Bible is clear. God loves the world, each and every one of us. And he displayed his love by dying on the cross and sacrificing his life for our sins, so that if we believe in him and receive his forgiveness for our sins, we will enter into a relationship with God and spend eternity with him in heaven. And my prayer for each of us here today is that you'll come to that point where you have a revelation of God's love for you, and you will receive his forgiveness and enter into a relationship with him, so that you too can share the hope that Mary has, and that those of faith have today, that we will be together forever in eternity in the presence of Jesus. And I would like to encourage you, if you've never made that decision, don't put it off. Don't wait any longer. Sincerely from your heart, acknowledge what he's done for you on the cross. Invite him into your heart. Surrender your life to him. And your life will never be the same again. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that knows no limits and no bounds. A love that we see displayed upon the cross. A love that even in this moment of sadness and sorrow, we feel. And Father, I thank you also for your peace that goes beyond our comprehension. I thank you for your grace and your comfort and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, we give thanks for a life that was lived well, a life that was lived in faith and obedience to you, and a life that was lived for others in our family, in our friendships, and in our community. We thank you for Mary's life. Father, also we pray for James, for Fiona, Linda, Philip, Lord, for Richard and Laura, Aria and Murray, and Lord, for the wider family, we ask, Lord, that they would know your love in a full measure, and they would sense your Spirit comforting in them and helping them. And Lord, we come, as we heard right at the outset, with great hope that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we give you thanks for this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are going to sing one more time together. And we're going to sing a great modern hymn called In Christ Alone. And I want to read to you one of the stanzas which we can sing with great conviction, as Mary would have many times. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Come on, let's stand together and sing this sincerely together.
Oh,
Friends, after the conclusion of this worship service, everyone is welcome to continue with Mary's family to the kirkyard for a brief service and committal. From there, everyone is warmly invited to join Mary's family over at Kemnay Church Center. If you're from Kemnay, it's over that way. Follow the road. You can't miss the steeple. Will there be a time of fellowship and refreshments together? And also, if you would prefer for any reason to go straight from here, from the Kirk, to the church center, you're welcome to do so as well, and Mary's family would be pleased to receive you there. And also, after the benediction is given, the family is asked that as you are able, that we all remain upstanding as we watch and listen to a reflection about Mary's life. And then the bearers will carry her body out of the Kirk. I think we've heard pretty strongly today that in her life, Mary knew, followed, believed, and loved Jesus Christ as her Lord. We believe and we trust that she is now at peace forever in God's loving presence. And by God's mercy and grace, we believe that one day, by faith, we will see her again in glory. Until that day comes, we hold fast to faith and to the great, great hope offered in the gospel. Please be upstanding and receive the blessing. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest forever upon our beloved Mary and upon all who she knew and loved. Amen.
The song that Tanya sings here was written by her daddy, Rusty Goodman.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright gold avenues, as you we're gonna wanna see our loved ones awaiting, me and you. And when you feel you've shared your story with the last one that wants to hear you tell just how you made it through.
I don't know.